Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Hebrews chapter number 11, begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Let's pray together. And Father, we thank you for your love to us. We thank you for the great Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for this one chapter. We've studied it, Lord, I understand in Sunday school, and I pray that you'll use this tonight, this chapter of faith, to encourage us and to help us and to strengthen us, to go on for Thee. Work in our service, please, Lord. Meet with us in a special way. Thank you for what you've already done and how you've already spoken to our hearts through the music. And I pray, Lord, now you'd be at the preaching. Lord, we'll give you the glory for all that's accomplished. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. The book of Hebrews is a very interesting book. Written to Hebrew believers. You can imagine as you read through this book, and it really, when you read it, to study it in that context, to understand that people that came from these tribes, these Jewish believers, and these tribes, maybe one that came up through a tribe of priesthood and after the family of Aaron, and have been converted to Christianity, there's always something there that's trying to pull them back. And you know, they've been brought up with certain rituals and certain things. And this book of Hebrews is a book that says that the new covenant is better. It says that there's one that's better than the angels. There's one that's better than Moses. There's one that's better than Joshua. There's one that's better than the prophets. And his name is Jesus. And that's what this book is about better things. And helping them to understand that they've been a part of this, and their heritage may have been one thing, but now something better has been given. The old covenant, the law, was something that was there, and it was needed. It was very necessary for certain things. But now Christ has came and brought the new covenant, which is far better than the old covenant. The writer of Hebrews, which we can't say for certain who it was. There's several ideas. Several people think that have different ideas. Some say Luke wrote the book of Hebrews, and some say Barnabas. Some say Apollos, which is very possible, and some say Clement, and some say Paul. Now, I lean towards Paul. I know others that lean towards Apollos and others that lean toward Clement. I understand that. But truly, the author of this book is God. God may have used any one of these men to write it, but God is the one that inspired it, and God is the one that gave it. And as he's writing to the writer, or the penman is writing these words that God has inspired, he's showing them some things, and he's talking about that it's not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to satisfy God. He's talking about that there are some things that is going to be a part of your life. And while those things were necessary at certain times, they were just a shadow of the truth. They were just a picture of what was to come. They were pictures of Christ. And so the writer of Hebrews is making it clear. When you understand that and you read the book of Hebrews, it will help you. It will not confuse you. People try to take the book of Hebrews and make you lose your salvation. Study it in the context it's written, and you're going to find out it makes sense. Amen. You don't lose your salvation. Amen. It was helping them to understand some things about what they, before Christ and now after Christ. They're on the other side of Calvary now. Christ has died, and he was buried, and he rose again. And then the writer comes to this chapter here in the book of Hebrews, and he writes about the great people, and he's writing to these Hebrew believers, and he's helping them to see these were great people, but what made them great was their faith in God. And dear friends, tonight, the only thing that's good about us is our faith in the Lord. And as we look through this hall of fame of faith, we see some things and we understand some things. And I want us to look together. And I know some of you have heard this, but I need it. If nobody else needs it, I need it. I'm preaching to me tonight. I want us to see tonight the people of faith. The people of faith. There's 16 mentioned by name, and there's others that are referred to, many others that are referred to, but notice what the Bible says. When we start looking at the people of faith, notice who they are, who God gives to us. The Bible says, by faith Abel, in verse number 4, offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, the Bible says in verse number 5. In verse number 7, we see by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Notice in verses 8 through 19, we see the faith of Abraham, the faith of Sarah, and the faith of Isaac. In verses 20 and 21, we see the faith of Isaac and the faith of Jacob. We understand in verse 22 that Joseph had great faith, and he was one of these people of faith that's mentioned by name. And then God throws us a curveball, and he shows us in verse number 31, there's a lady that was a harlot, if you will, and her name's Rahab. But he has put in the hall of faith. That's great, isn't it? Not that she was a lady of ill repute, but that God can save anybody. God can bless anybody. The Bible says in verse number 32 through verse 40, others are mentioned. We see Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel. Then there's people that are referred to. In verse number 30, we see that Joshua is referred to when the Bible says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down and they were compassed about after they were compassed about 7 days. In verse 34, we see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we understand these things. And then the Bible says in verse number 35, we see the widow of 1 Kings and the Shunammite woman of 2 Kings. In verse 37, we see that there was one that was stoned, and we know Zechariah was stoned. We see one that was sawn asunder, and Isaiah was sawn asunder according to tradition. So we see all these people of faith. Now I want you to take note of something. In these people of faith, we see men and women. We see people from different walks of life. We see people that were well known and people that were very little known. We see people in these people of faith, we see all different kinds of people. We see prophets. We just see servants. We see people that were harlots. We begin to understand that the family of God is bigger than just a handful of people. The family of God is bigger than just now one race, one nation. The family of God is a people of faith and people that have put their faith and trust in the Lord. And anybody can be a part of this people. Anybody that's willing to put their faith in God. And if we're going to be anything, we have to be a people of faith. Many of the stories we see in here was not talking about their faith in salvation. It was talking about their faith after they had trusted the Lord. And that's what we need to understand. What made their faith great was not that they trusted the Lord and that was it, but that they trusted the Lord and then they learned to live by faith. Notice what the Bible says here in the book of Hebrews. The Bible says, by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed. And then the Bible says, without faith it is impossible to please God. We have a list of people here that pleased God because they were people of faith. And tonight we want to please the Lord, don't we? Don't we want to please God? Well, dear friends, the way that we please the Lord is to be a man of faith, a woman of faith, to be a person of faith. When we leave this world and when all is said and done in our lives, may we be known for our faith in the Lord. May people hear our name and may it remind them there was a man, there was a woman that had faith in God. When we think about faith, we think of all the grandeur of it, being Christians. We think of all the wonderful things, but I want you to understand, as a people of faith, that this faith sometimes brings problems. So I want you to see the problems of faith. The problems of faith. Faith costs something. Faith costs something. See, faith turns away from the world and towards the Savior. And that's not an easy thing to do. You remember we talked, I don't know, a couple weeks ago on we're in the world but not of the world. How true that is. That's what faith is. Faith recognizes that we are in the world, but we're not of the world. And we must understand this, that when we put our faith in God and we start living by faith, we find ourselves turning away from the world and turning our eyes toward Jesus. That's why the Bible says in chapter number 12, verse number 1, wherefore seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Here's how. Just like those people in chapter number 11. Just like those people of faith. Here's how we can run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus. Verse 2 says, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Understand with me tonight that faith is looking unto Jesus. The faith life is a life that keeps our eyes fixed on Him. Our desire is to see His will for the day. Our desire is to see His place for our life. Our desire is to do what He wants us to do. When we wake up in the morning, we begin to understand that if I'm going to live this day for God, I must do what God wants me to do and not so much what I want to do. That causes problems. Because the world's pulling us one way and the Lord's taking us another. Faith is always towards the Savior. And the Bible teaches us that the world is at enmity with God. The world's an enemy of God. Remember, we live in the world, but we're not of the world. The problems of faith can be many. But dear friends, we have to understand that the greatest thing we can do is live by faith. Because the Bible says, the just shall what? Live by faith. Three times Paul said that. I've told you before, I believe that was Paul's life verse. As he goes back to the book of Habakkuk, and he sees there in chapter number 2, verse number 4, where Habakkuk writes, the just shall live by his faith. And I believe that Paul took that and he decided, I'm going to live by faith. Well, it brought Paul a life of ease. Didn't it? Oh, let's look, before we move on, let's look at that easy. Let me see if I can see what I want to read to you here about this life of ease that Paul had and understand how easy it is to live for the Lord. Here was Paul, a man of faith. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians, in chapter number 11, and verse number 23. Are they ministers of Christ? Paul writes to the church at Corinth, I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors, more abundant, in stripes, above measure, in prisons, more frequent, in deaths, oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep. in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. Let's go on, verse number 7 of chapter number 12. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now Paul says, most gladly, therefore, I'll rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. Paul was a man of faith. By the way, Paul was one of those Hebrew believers. Paul had a great understanding of the things of God. But Paul had come to the place in his life where he had put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it brought problems to him. You see, what we have to understand when we talk about the problems of faith, we've seen the people of faith, but when we talk about the problems of faith, we realize that that's true. Faith does things that does not always make sense. If we're going to walk by faith, it's trusting God and Him alone. Now, this is hard for people to do, especially in today's society, because we live in a I-have-to-see-it-to-believe-it society. But the writer of Hebrews says that we're to walk by faith. And he gives us a list of people in the Old Testament for whom Christ was going to die, but Christ had not even yet come into the world, and they still walked by faith. We're on the other side looking back. Jesus has already died. We should have more of a desire to walk by faith than those people have. But we see the problems. See, faith will take us places where it don't always make sense. It'll have us do things that don't always make sense. But we must live by faith. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 7. Noah built an ark. He was laughed at. He did it by faith. God told him it was going to rain. Never rain. And we're not going to get into all that. You've heard enough about Noah to know that this was something he did by faith. Did it make sense? I don't reckon it made sense to anybody but Noah and the Lord and his family. For 120 years he preached. Nobody listened. Nobody got on board. Does it make sense? Well, let me ask you how gratifying it was to him that when the door shut and he looked around and there was his whole family on board with him. Do you think he was happy that he lived by faith? When the rain started falling, I imagine people wanting to get on board, but he didn't shut the door. God shut the door. It don't always make sense. But it's always best to live by faith. Verse 8 through 10, we see Abraham's journey. Did it make sense? I'm taking you somewhere, the Lord says. I want you to follow me. And Abraham says, where am I going? He says, you just follow me. And he went after a city he knew nothing about. Looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. You know what? He walked by faith. He said, I want you to leave all these things and I want you to follow me. And Abraham did that. What about Abraham and Isaac? Does it make sense that you would take your son and put him on an altar? Take a dagger back ready to actually take your son's life, but believing with all of your heart that if you did, God would revive the boy. By faith. How far are we willing to go by faith? Because when the problems arise, usually our faith ceases. Right? When the problems come up, that's when our faith says, psst. When we begin to think, well, this is what the Lord wants me to do, but it doesn't make sense, then we say, that must not be really right, you know. I'm just thinking. Right? Amen? Good. I just want to be sure you're still here. I heard a grunt. That's all I needed, a grunt. Now I can go on. Verse 24, 25 and 26, we see that Moses suffered affliction because of his faith. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So we understand that it costs something. There's problems of faith. Verse 27 through 29, Moses fled Egypt. Faith. This is what faith does. So we see the people of faith. We see the problems of faith. But thank God, I want you to see the possibilities of faith. That's the great thing about it. The problems may come, but what God is going to do through your faith in Him is so much greater than the problem. The Bible says in verse number 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. I like that. Christ had not yet come, but they knew that He was coming because God promised all the way back in Adam and Eve. God said, I'm going to send a seed, and He is going to bruise the head of Satan. There's a Savior coming into the world. And all these people of faith, they were looking forward to the Lord Jesus Christ coming. He hadn't yet come. And that promise was afar off. But they died in faith, not seeing the promise, not receiving the promise, but seeing them afar off. They believed what God said. And the Bible says that they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. In other words, they were in this world, but they were not of this world. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Amen? My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me to heaven's golden shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. These people were looking ahead. They were believing God, and their faith in God made their victories possible. Verse 5 and 6, Enoch was translated because of his faith in the Lord. Dear friends, if we're living by faith, I believe there's a great possibility we too could be translated because I believe Jesus is coming soon. We're going to be called out of this world. Verse number 11, we see that Sarah conceived when it seemed impossible. Even when she heard it, she may have had faith in God, but she laughed. But you understand this. She still believed that God was able. And she conceived and bore a son. His name was Isaac. Moses led the children of Israel across the Red Sea. How did they go across the Red Sea without drowning? By faith. There's two or three different ideas about the crossing of the Red Sea. Some believe that God just broke it open and they stepped forward and the sea was dry all the way across. And then there's another explanation. I don't know which one's true, but I happen to believe this one. I believe every step by faith, the sea just parted. Every step by faith, the sea parted in front of them. And God made a way all the way across because they had to walk all the way by faith, trusting God. Now, I could be wrong, and it's either way, it doesn't matter. They crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. It wasn't even mucky. It wasn't muddy. Their feet didn't get stuck not one time because they walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. Now believe it, don't you? Moses led the children. That's the possibility of faith. Joshua and Israel conquered the walled city by faith. The Bible says in verse number 30, Rahab had faith to help the spies. This woman of ill repute. But she came to a place of faith in her life. We'll never accomplish anything without faith. The Bible says in verse number 32 of this chapter, after he says, gives us all this list of people, and he says, and what shall I say more? And then he mentions names. He's just saying, these people accomplished what they did because of their faith in God. That's what the possibilities of faith do in our life. When we walk by faith, there are great possibilities that are out there. We will see more things happen in our life when we walk by faith than when we walk by sight. It's an adventurous life, but it's a great life. Nothing's impossible with God. And then we see the promise of faith. The promise of faith. Notice what the Bible says in verse 39 and 40 of this chapter. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. See, these persisted in the faith. They continued in their faith, even though that promise was afar off. But it was a promise that they believed in. Genuine faith will persist until the end. It'll keep going. When you make a decision based on emotions, many times those decisions don't last any further than when you maybe get up off your knees. But when you make a decision based on faith, that's lasting decisions. That's the promise of faith, is when we do that. The writer is showing here the superiority of the new covenant. These people that we've just read and heard about, they believed Christ was coming, but He had not yet come. Now, He has come. He's writing to these New Testament believers, these Hebrew believers, after Christ has died and rose again. And there would be a tug at their heart, because the Hebrew faith of the Old Testament was a great faith. What greater people to look up to than Enoch and Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? What greater people to look to than Joshua and say, I want to model my life after them? And what the writer of Hebrews was saying to these people was, yes, but they were looking forward to the promise. The promise has come. The promise died on the cross. The promise was buried. And the promise rose again. And now, there's something better than what these people in the Old Testament had. There's something better than the blood of bulls and the blood of goats. There's something better than the old covenant that God made with His people. And that is this new covenant that God will include anybody on that's willing to come to Him by faith. They were on the front side of the cross. We're on the back side of the cross. They were before Christ died. We're after Christ died. We have seen the promise. And the promise of faith is that when we walk by faith, we can't go wrong. But without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. God saved this better thing, this fulfillment of the promise, for this age. We're living in the church age. The Bible says, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. God had a plan all along from the beginning. Before He ever spoke the world into existence, dear friend, God knew what was going to take place. And you and I were in on that plan because Jesus died for us. Without the new covenant, even the greatest champion of faith in the Old Testament could not be made perfect. If Christ had not died, Abraham could not be made perfect. And by the way, that perfect means complete. And we too have been made complete in Christ. The promise of faith. The Bible says in the book of Galatians, chapter 3, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And then Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36 and 37. Listen to what the Bible says. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, will not tarry. That's a promise. It's a promise of faith. May we be a people of faith. May we understand that, yes, there will be problems of faith, but the possibilities are so much greater than the problems. And the problems are just God proving himself to us. Right? The problem is what the world does to us. It's not what God's doing to us. It was the world laughing at Noah. You know? The problems of faith may require us to do something that does not make sense. Taking his son up like Abraham did, didn't make sense. But God knew what he was doing. And God puts us in places where we have to trust him by faith. And those problems of faith helps us to see the possibilities of faith. The possibilities of faith, when we understand these things, we begin to understand the promise of faith. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Abel. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. Do you understand? By it, we believe these things. Through it, we understand these things. And without it, it is impossible. It is impossible. You hear that? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible. Let's be a people of faith. Amen? Let's stand our feet. Please. Men sang a song about being in fellowship with the Lord. That fellowship is accomplished as we walk by faith. As we look unto Jesus. The Bible says he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He started us on this journey, and he'll take us on this journey. We have to walk by faith. Amen. May the Lord help us. I'm not going to ask questions. I'm not going to say, do you need this? Do you need that? This is a message to people, to be a people of faith. And as God has spoken to your heart tonight, when we begin to sing this hymn of invitation, I'm going to ask that you would come. Find your place in the altar, and then we'll all pray together. Father, we love you. May thy will be done. We give this time to thee, and may we be obedient as your children. In Christ's name, amen. What hymn number?
351.
Hymn number 300.